Dear friends, greetings. Thank you, Brother Ray, Brother Obi, and Brother Tom. I've thoroughly enjoyed the services. I actually had to get up and get ready for work, so I appreciate the encouragement and the preparation. This is like a relay race. We've had the first three legs, and now we're going to give me the opportunity to do our best to finish strong. So I appreciate the opportunity. Love from your friends, your brethren in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I bring the love special of my wife, Sarah, and especially my mom, Sister Helena. She's on, and Sister Elva Anderson, and our two boys, Will and John. So it's certainly a privilege to be with you. I grew up, Brother Mike, primarily attending the Jackson Convention on Labor Day. So that's kind of where I've been a long time ago, but it's been a blessing. I appreciate the friends in Seattle inviting me to serve. So it's certainly a pleasure and an honor. So I will do my best. We're going to talk a little bit about, I think the first three mini services really talked about, opportunities and what we have before us. And so now we're going to talk about maybe what to do with that. And the title of my service is Our Decisions Reveal Our Priorities. And this screen, it says, Put God First. Actually, we got this, I came across this on a recent trip to Japan, and I'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. But again, our time is precious together. Just as a time check, I'm pretty solid on 15 minutes, so I should finish quite promptly in 15 minutes. So let's get started. Life is about making decisions. In fact, we make about 35,000 conscious decisions each day. Most of our decisions we make, we really don't pay attention to what to have for dinner, when to mow the lawn, does the dog need to be fed, etc. We don't spend hours agonizing over details like that. The choice presents itself and we make it, and most of the time just carry on with the day. Big or small, we are always deciding something. But the big and the small are not isolated from each other. In fact, every small decision is in reality a reflection of a larger one which clearly shows our priorities. God and His will for us should always be the guiding principle in our decision-making process. So, what's the definition of a decision? We turn to Viktor Frankl. He's a noted psychologist and maybe more importantly, an Auschwitz survivor. His definition is between stimulus and response, there is a space, a period of time for making a decision. In that space, in that decision, is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. That space or that decision is one that needs to be in harmony with the Lord's will, in harmony with truth and righteousness of God. This is the basis for our decisions, all of them, big and small. As we look back over the course of our lives and wonder who we are or what we are, you and I, dear brethren, are the sum total of our decisions, both good and bad. That's what we are. From Joshua 24:15, we expand on this thought. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We add, not tomorrow or the next day or sometime maybe. Choose you this day, right now. How good we feel and at peace when we finally settle. We settle matters, put them to rest, and move on to further projects and progress. Even Pastor Russell suggests that even a bad decision can be better than no decision at all. Exercising our wills and making decisions is like the captain of a ship, moving this rudder to and fro to avoid obstacles, to change course prudently and constantly focused upon reaching port safely. Lack of willpower, indecision, aimlessly drifting through life is like a ship without a rudder, broken, unable to steer a straight, safe course or make critical corrections swiftly as required to avoid disaster. Three important early decisions in one's life will primarily determine the first future course of that individual. They should be carefully considered in connection with our priorities. These three primary decisions are consecration, marriage and relationship and family is number two, and finally, number three, our occupation, our earthly occupation. In a nutshell, our life will be set to course primarily on these three decisions. I want to talk briefly about consecration because it is so important. Consecration takes courage. The courage to swim against the flow, the courage to be different, the courage to be strange, the courage to be unusual, and of course, the courage to stand for our Lord, to study, to understand, to believe, and represent the Lord and his truth in word, in thought, and in action, when others do not accept it, oppose it, and possibly even ridicule it. We do not consecrate to become popular in the world or amongst the brethren, who at times we must stand up to. The Bible provides an abundance of comforting and encouraging words, which remind us that we are not alone. After ye have fully and irrevocably given your all to the Lord, it is a comparatively easy matter, if our hearts remain faithful, to confess him and his word of grace, prayerfully make the big decisions, and all else will follow. I like this thought of this young man on a soapbox. A young man would witness every day to people and passerbys, but he would be mocked and laughed at by those around him. A friend asked him, "Why do you do it?" This young man answered, I used to do it to change them. Now I do it so they will not change me." Now, the next thought we're going to address about decisions is that prudent individuals seek advice from other knowledgeable people when making important decisions. That is, they learn from others. They are smart enough to know that they can avoid repeating mistakes others have already made and learn by. I've always been impressed with the successful people who have had this trait. I truly recognize that my earthly father, Brother Tony, is much wiser now that we no longer have him with us, than he was when I was growing up. Oh, how I should have listened to him, watched him, and learned from him more when I had the chance. I long for those words of wisdom and time we spent together. As Christians, all of us find counsel in the Heavenly Father's word, and from those living closely to the word. Paul advised Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Our time so spent in God's word places God firmly in our heart and memory, where the Holy Spirit can quickly and easily bring God's will to our forefront when we reach the inevitable forks in the road. A seed planted in good soil will take strong root and hold fast. Isaiah 30:21 says, "Thine ear shall hear a word behind, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." So advice and direction from experienced, mature minds is invaluable, particularly from the Word of God, but it is our responsibility to weigh matters and make the right decisions. Now we turn from these mighty, weighty matters to some day-to-day decisions that life thrusts upon us. How do we handle them? We must not think that because a matter is small, it is therefore unimportant or inconsequential. Carelessness in small things can easily develop into carelessness with larger matters, usually with larger and more serious consequences for all of those involved. We read in the Song of Solomon 2:15, Song of Solomon 2:15, "Take us the little foxes that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom." Let's keep the little foxes always in front of us. Both of our sons, Will and John, have taught us as they were growing up how we make decisions. Both Sarah and I have learned a lot, and both boys are now off to college. So we can kind of take a little bit of a pause and look back a little bit. But one of the things we think about is a very good question to ask oneself, or another one close to you is, can you accept the possible outcomes of the decision you're about to make? If the answer is in the affirmative, meaning yes, I can accept the expected outcomes, then you are free to proceed. Another principle that guides us when making decisions is to visualize and consider, what would Jesus do? We know this from our own studies, our prayer, and certainly from the Holy Spirit. Jesus's life and teachings are the basis for our own life. If in any way we think that Jesus would not approve of our decision or actions, then we should not do it. Friends, I'll tell you a little secret. We've kind of built upon that to bring it home a little closer. And we also say, what would Nana, meaning what would Sister Helena do? Or what would Sister Elva do? And that also resonates with the boys. And finally, something my mom taught me, and I try to apply every day, and that's the rings of gold, meaning before we speak, we must decide the three following questions. And if they're true, then we can proceed. But those three rings of gold are the first, is it true? Second, is it necessary? And third, is it kind? All these three questions must be answered in the affirmative, and then it's okay to speak. So what we think about, brethren, leads to what we do and who we are. Actions are first approved in the mind. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an act and you reach a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. Our destiny is tied directly to and starts with our thoughts. Every idea starts with a thought. Every attitude starts with an idea. And yes, every action starts with a decision. Now we'll go on to a guide for decision making. I got this from Brother Lawrence Kirkham many years ago, and I've adopted it in my own life and my own walk. This consists of a list of priorities we should consider when making decisions. It can help us choose between conflicting interests, responsibilities, mortgages on our time, and our energy. All of us have these challenges due to our fallen nature. It is our flesh. At the top of our guide for making decisions is to remember that God and our consecration to Him and His Son always, always comes first. We are His, and our decisions are His. We read in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, or know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have from God, and ye are not your own, for ye were bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. He bought you and I. He possesses you and I, and you and I are His servant as well as the Son. So this is our first consideration and our priority when making decisions, our Heavenly Father, our consecration to Him, and His beloved Son. Coming in at number two on our list, if married, our spouses come next. Marriage brings with it a mortgage on time and energy, but must not come before our higher mortgages for God and His Son. Number three, if there be children, then follows their interests. Number four, next, our brethren come, but not at the expense of those above. Number five, our employer claims the right of an honest day's work, and this claim must be honored faithfully. If in conflict with above, we can change our work situation for one more compatible, but we do owe our employer an honest day's work if we want an honest day's pay. Number six, next on our list comes neighbors, family, friends, and community. And finally, number seven, we might say comes personal interest that we might deem selfish, unimportant, or unnecessary in our consecrated walk. I will let each of you fill in this final category as you see fit. Finally, we come to the sobering thoughts that the Lord's people are being trained to be judges and to make eternal decisions. Now, he who would lead must first learn to follow. And if we're going to be judges on the other side of the veil, We must learn to be good judges on this side of the veil. 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3. 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And as the world should be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? What a glorious privilege and honor we may find yet before us. Let's prepare as best as we can. The key to making these decisions properly is instilling the principles of righteousness into one's mind and quickly applying them to the choice one must make. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. We read that in Psalm 25:12. Psalm 25:12. Thus, a Christian who knows he has committed himself to the service of God need not ponder long about accepting such services divine providence offers. Nor are decisions between right and wrong and moral matters to be submitted to continuous analysis, but made resolutely. The decision has been prayerfully made. Move on. Take the necessary action. This is not to say that all such decisions are easy, or even if they will always be made correctly. It is a true adage that a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Proverbs 24:16. It is not a mortal sin to take the wrong path at a crossroads in life. But it can become so if, after discovering it is the wrong road, to lack the humility to admit the course is wrong and reverse one's steps. A sevenfold rising again must follow the sevenfold falling of the just man. This calls to mind the story of the wise man who was approached by one of his disciples with the question, "Master, how did you get to be so wise?" "By making good decisions," responded the sage. "But how did you learn to know which were good decisions?" the disciple persisted. "By experience," he answered. "And how did you get experience?" "By making bad decisions," the old man replied. Decision-making is a big part of our everyday life and will have eternal reach. Let us always make our best efforts to include God in every decision we consider. We will then reflect God and his Son in all of our decisions. I'd like to close with a poem from our dear brother Carl Hagensick entitled Crossroads. This is from Brother Carl to you. Oops. As we walk the narrow way, how our feet so yearn to stray. Help, dear Lord, we seek and pray. Guide us now to perfect day. Oft we look to left and right, trying hard with main and might, lacking still that inner sight, blinded by the mists of night, seeking at our path's crossroads, knowing not where each way bodes, how we need your hand to hold, leading us to heavenly folds. Show us, Lord, which path you trod, which we ask led you to God. Hesitant, we onward plod, looking for your proving nod. Only let us seek thy will, doing not what worketh ill, choosing rightfully to fulfill vows we made and want them still. Decisions are so hard to make, fearing that we would forsake. Paths we promised that we'd take. This we pray for thy name's sake. And again, that's Brother Carl Hagensick. With that blessed thought and encouragement from Brother Carl, we conclude our services with you. May the Lord continue to guide and direct you in all that you do and decide. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.